Valley with Tony Simpson, Ryan Champion and Jack Bennion.
Hello everyone, welcome to Absolute Rally. It's episode 8, season 5. Have you enjoyed it so far? I hope you have. If you have, let us know. If you haven't, equally let us know, because it's always good to know what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. We're trying to keep it different. I hope you enjoyed last week. I thought last week's was a classic, by the way. And yeah, we're going to keep trying to bring in different people and doing different things. And yeah, I've got a bit of a feature with a WRC team boss coming up as well, which is, I'm not going to say too much about because I haven't recorded it yet, but once I record it, it'll be mega. Anyway, at this point of the podcast, you all know the kind of the plan by now. I only say, hello, Jack Bennion.
Hello, Tony Simpson.
And I say, hello, Ryan Champion.
Hello, Tony Simpson and Jack Bennion.
There you go. You've done the same as what you did last week, by the way, right?
Just thought, yeah, I'd point that out. Consistency this week.
It's consistency. That's what we like. Yep. Consistency, yep. in your mannerisms.
It's the key to success.
Is it? Ah, you see, this is going to bring me up. My Any Other Business features consistency and a cool head.
Right, we see.
Have you got 13 Any Other Businesses this week, or is it just one?
Oh, he's awake, is he? Oh, here he is. He's rattled your cage, Bennion. Right. It is. I'll be fair. Right, you inspired my Any Other Business, Jack Bennion.
Did I really?
Yeah, you did. With a statement you made me on the phone the other day, and that's inspired it. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, oh, dear, that's not good.
You should.
Those conversations are not for public.
You shouldn't be wearing women's clothing in daylight.
It's out there, I've put it out there, so to speak.
But to be fair, Jack put it way out there. But anyway, we get sidetracked by cross-dressing yet again on this podcast. Listen, I had no idea where we were going with that. I'm gonna quickly reach out to a life raft of Hyundai 2017, almost ready for homologation.
Yeah, we've got some suspension changes and some bits and bobs finalised in the running and stuff like that. So good to see Hyundai sort of ahead. You know, there was a lot of talk last year about the car being late, wasn't there, and things like that. So nice to see that they've got a good run at designing their car and getting it ready. And maybe not quite as quickly as Citroën and VW, but still probably at an acceptable time where they can get enough tested in before the homologation's finalised, which is not too far.
I don't know whether this is just my mind's eye playing tricks and everything with me, but all these liveries kind of obviously are designed, aren't they, to almost throw the eye, so you can't quite see where everything is and everything else. But I've not looked at one car yet and thought, oh, I can't wait to see that.
I actually thought the Hyundai is potentially looking quite good. There was some pictures on from a finish test where it looked dramatic. And I see there's some official pictures of the Citroën being released today, isn't there? They've officially titled it the C3 WRC, which I think we knew it was going to be called the C3 WRC. But some official pictures out there, and I think that looks pretty nice.
Again, I don't know whether it's just the angles, because obviously it's designed to. You probably know more about this than me. Aren't those liveries designed to almost so you can't see the edges, yeah, and stuff like that?
They are the camo livery, the camouflaged livery. Yeah, I mean, all inspired by it from the road car type testing, exactly that. So it's difficult to see the exact design of the
anyway,
car.
Anyway, right, now, one thing I wasn't expecting to read, and I don't know why I said that, because obviously, I suppose, where am I going with this? The reason why I'm about to read out a headline, and it's VW lays long-term plan for dominance. And I just didn't think they were going to stick around for the long term. And I don't know why I'm saying that. But Jack, can you tell us a little bit more about this headline?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's probably brought about by VW trying to quash a few rumours, maybe, or, you know, reacting to the whole crisis that they've had recently, and a lot of questions asked about their brands and the things they own. You know, we've seen in Le Mans they've scaled down in the World Endurance Championship and things like that. So, yeah, I think it's just a bit of a statement of intent from VW that they're planning to stick around, and obviously they see plenty of value in the championship, which is obviously a good thing as for the championship to see, you know, a manufacturer making a long term investment. Yeah, David Evans spoke to Sven Smeets and the new team principal and some people like that. So it'd be interesting to actually see how Sven gets on in his new role and whether he can be as popular as Mr. Capito.
I certainly won't be. Yeah, Rise already having a giggle. I don't think he will be as quite controversial, Amazon, I think it's fair to say.
No, and I think the difference with Sven Spietz is he's a rally man, isn't he? You know, he has a rally background. He, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, he's a competitor at heart. He's been through it all, and comes from a different direction, to say, to Jos Capito. But an interesting statement from Volkswagen, because once Capito left, and like you said, they've dominated the championship now for a few years. They're not known for sticking around. So, you know, it is nice to hear that statement of intent. And as Jack just said, they're obviously getting value out of their investment. And we all know the marketing and promotion of WRC maybe isn't what everybody would like it to be. And that, you know, there's hopefully a big push on improving that. But nonetheless, Volkswagen must be getting good mileage out of it to increase their stake.
I'm going to do another non-story, it feels like, here, Jack, but you've done it first, so all I'm going to do is ask you about the headline. Hannonen and Lappi set to lead Toyota WRC squad in 2017.
Yeah, it looks like we're pretty certain who the Toyota driver's going to be. It looks like it's going to be Hannonen and Lappi. Hannonen, someone we kind of knew about a while ago, didn't we, really? He's kind of been common knowledge for a while now that he'd be involved in some way. Lappi, not so much. He came out recently, didn't he, and said he wouldn't be going back to Skoda, and, you know, to be fair, he has been rumoured as one of us, but so has pretty much every other driver in the WRC, I think, has been rumoured at going to Toyota at some point. So, yeah, I think the rumours were a little bit stronger for Lappi, weren't they, and especially recently, and that looks like it's going to be confirmed. I think it's the Paris Motor Show, isn't it, not so long away. So it'll be interesting to see what the livery looks like. Like, it's going to release there today, and definitely interesting to see how Lappi goes in a
I really want somebody to actually just be a complete nutter curveball. I want them to announce somebody nobody's actually thought of, really, really left field, like Mika Häkkinen or something like that, just to completely mess with everybody. He's finished, why not? It could happen. Anyway, the next headline I wanted to come to, Jack, and I must admit, I've not seen this one, but I guess that's what the beauty of MN is. It brings us these things. Shorter events could be the answer to a congested calendar.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is, you know, we've talked a lot about calendars on Absolute Rally, haven't we? And this is sort of, I think, Jarno Hoonan's idea of trying to get a few more events in. And in the piece itself is a few different sort of ideas about how future events might look and how you fit them all in. Because obviously we've got this problem at the minute where we've got so many events who want to be on the calendar and haven't got a space. And rotation idea is really not proven very popular, has it, with anyone really, from sort of my understanding of how the rotation sort of suggestion came around. So it's definitely an issue, isn't it, that we've got, well, maybe not an issue, that we've got so many events that want to be on the calendar, but how do you get them all in? That's the
right
problem.
You know, we obviously lost China earlier. China would be around now, wouldn't it, I think, the highly unlikely, obviously, that people are going to buy into China next year. There's certainly big question marks about it and things like that, but we look at the calendar. We know why they wanted to go to China, but ultimately, you know, the official line was obviously they'd had bad weather and things like that. But, you know, the rumour mill was already gathering pace about the likelihood of China being cancelled prior to that. Do we need to focus on countries that actually want it and can actually take it? Or have we got to focus on countries that the manufacturers have to go to? It's a dilemma, isn't it?
It is a dilemma, because you've got two events there as good examples. You've got New Zealand, which the drivers want to go to, which the country is desperate to have the rally back. We have listeners to this show who, you know, certainly want to see Rally New Zealand World Championship. And I think from anybody who competes in the World Championship, they want to go back to New Zealand. But from a manufacturer point of view, there's no question that it's much more important them to go to China, just because of their marketing aims. We know the Chinese market is, you know, it's the biggest expanding market in the world, and I think, unfortunately, as long as we've got, fortunately, unfortunately, whichever way you look at it, we want WRC teams, we want works back WRC teams, we want the big manufacturers in the sport, we want Volkswagen, you know, we want Toyota, we want Hyundai, and they're always going to want to go to the biggest markets. So, you know, China isn't going to go away. They're going to have to find a way of getting a good rally in China in the championship, because that's why these teams are investing the millions of pounds they are to market themselves in countries like that.
I just think it's such a difficult one, isn't it? Because obviously there's the commercial reasons that manufacturers want to go, and then there's obviously the countries and the destinations and the events that are desperate, as you say, for them, you know, that people want to go there. And there just seems to be almost a disconnect in all those three things, you know, the events, the country, the, you know, and the teams and drivers, already almost four disconnects there, isn't there? And I don't know, Jack, it's almost like everybody needs to get around the table and need to find a compromise across the board. So the people where people want to go, what events can afford to actually prop up affording to take the championship there, and where the teams think it'll work.
That'd be a good meeting, wouldn't it? You know, trying to get all the events together and all the FIA together and all that sort of stuff.
That'd be a very important meeting. I think it would be an extremely important meeting.
It would be, yeah.
I'd like to be a fly on the wall. I think that would be an important meeting beyond an important meeting.
I see
what's going on here.
The penny's dropped now. But just a couple of points there, though. You know, shorter rallies. I question that one. We talk about events in the WRC now that don't have the character that they used to have. Surely if you just have shorter events, even than what we have now, they just lose even more character, don't they? Can you have a challenging event that's maybe only 150 miles long? You could if you were creative with the timetable, but I'm not sure that'll happen either.
I don't know. I tell you what, how many miles did we do over the weekend? I'll come to that later on. We didn't do 160, though, did we, Jack?
Well, no.
We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. And listen, a couple of things before we move away from WRC. Obviously, the podcast is going to drop in the next 24 hours or so, and this is Wednesday at the moment, so you guys will get it then. So images and stuff of the new liveries and things like that, you may well get to see before you actually listen to this podcast. And by all means, tweet in, let us know what you think. And it's @_rally, as you know. Be good to get some listener feedback on what's been going on, because the whole thing didn't quite work last week. Just thought I'd mention it. I'll be fair, I was slightly busy, I think it's probably fair to say, so I didn't really push it, but nobody else really picked it up. Just thought I'd mention it, boys.
Maybe I need to come up with a different format.
Anyway, moving away from WRC and still keeping that international flavour, a guest that's been on the show before, Jack, Frederick Arlen. Possibly it's easy to misconstrue this headline, but I'll let you explain it because it's one of yours. Arlen future in doubt after Manx drama.
Yeah, he had, for people who weren't sort of keeping tabs on the Ulster or didn't have time like you, Tony.
On the Manx, not Ulster.
Yeah, he had a bit of an issue.
Don't worry about it.
We'll help you out.
It's all just a blur, you know, these events. It's that important meeting, isn't it, Tony? Anyway, Mr. Arlen blew up his engine on the Manx rally. There we go, we've got it right this time. Bit of a strange one, actually. Issue with the PDU box down the pedals, and the electric cut out in the car, and his co-driver started waving at him, and bit of an issue when you're flat out in fifth gear in an R5 car on Manx. It's probably one of the last places you'd want to have that problem. But he banged down the gearbox in a bit of a panic, and when he went to put his foot on the accelerator, nothing happened, so the engine's gone. And that means any plans to maybe do Spain, which was kind of in the pipeline, is gone, and puts GB in doubt as well. And Frederick's now having a look at what car he's going to use in the future, and whether a car switch is what he wants to do. He's not quite sure, but it definitely means his future plans are a little bit up in the air at the moment.
Now, obviously, Martin Wilkinson, who we all know, again another guest of the show from way back when, he's been running David Bogie, and of course David Bogie running the British Rally Championship. He's onto his second Skoda R5, and it wouldn't be too much of a massive jump, would it, for Martin to run a two car Skoda team?
No, I think the one thing that CA1 have done well this year is run different cars, and you know, they've shown that they can run four cars. They've run Skoda and the Fiesta. So, you know, they've shown that they've got the ability to do that. You know, they're the only team that have run five cars pretty much all year. So, yeah, I think, you know, we all know Martin and his sort of ability, but the mechanics he's got there as well are all very experienced. There's quite a few guys who've done lots of WRC stuff and things like that there. So I don't think it'd be too much of a push to say that, but it just depends what Frederick decides in terms of his cars.
And speaking of David Bogie, wishing him very best of luck with Wales Rally GB next month. Third time he's going to attempt it, and he's going to be in that new Skoda R5 as well. Now, one thing I wanted to come to, and unfortunately I didn't get a chance to catch up with Elvin over the weekend, but let's be honest, nobody did. Elvin Evans, of course, our British Rally champion, won the Manx Rally at the weekend with last week's guest not too far behind him, I think it's fair to say. And just interesting, a little bit of a caveat story that you've put here, Jack. Evans says BRC events need to up their game.
Yeah, I think it's just, I think Alvin says, you know, we were talking about the year and how the year, and one of the things Alvin thought out was that he feels like the organisation of the championship's been good, and in its first year, it's done a lot and gone a long way. But one thing that could improve, he says, you know, if he had to pick something, was the events. And we've seen bits and bobs over the year, haven't we, with the events not quite stepping up to the standard maybe that was expected. You know, it's difficult running it with so few volunteers and things like that. Is a different debate altogether, and you know, organisers giving up their time and working really hard behind the scenes. It's something we all know happens, but it can be quite frustrating when drivers are bringing, you know, spending some money to be at the events and don't really get the you know, their value for money in certain ways. So yeah, it's just a bit of an interesting chat with Alvin really, and see what you make of it.
This is Absolute Rally Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks, accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate, call Dane or Donna now on 44 1904 766787. Or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.
And welcome back to Absolute Rally. Boys, we've got to that point where we've got to any other business. Believe it or not, we're already at any other business. Can you believe it? I'm excited by any other business this week. I'll be honest, any other business has kind of grown into this whole thing now that was never meant to be. Have you got your any other business, Jack?
Yeah, but I need to go last.
You need to go last, okay. Rye, have you got yours?
Yeah, for reasons.
Yes, I've got... you've just made me think of an extra one.
I've got two, and both of them are inspired by Jack Bennion. And it's nothing to do with meetings. I'm going to start with both of mine, and both of them, as I say, we can credit Jack Bennion for. We did the Manx at the weekend, and again, it's such a special event, and it's such a roller coaster of emotions, those 3 days of doing those rallies, especially running into the dark and things like that. And you love it, you hate it, you love it, you hate it, and everything else. It's like a bad woman. We all like a bad woman every now and again, or we certainly will have had our younger years, and you know they're no good for you, and you know they're going to do your head in, but you keep on going back for more, and that's pretty much what the Manx was in every sense of the word. I know my other half listens to this, and I'm going to get slapped, but hey, that's the best analogy I can come up with. It's like a naughty woman that you should know you shouldn't play with, and you do, and you keep on going back to it, but...
This is great.
I realised that it was everyone's on the edge of the seat going, Tony's absolutely going to get knocked about here. And it is true. But Jack Bennion, your point in your column this week was one that has been kind of in my head from the moment I finished the Manx Rally. And I was shocked by the lack of spectators on that event. And I don't know what the answer is. And all I can do, I assumed because we were running so far down the field, everybody had gone. But from speaking to people, there wasn't a great deal of people out there.
Yeah, I think there was, well, to be fair, I was there to greet you at the finish and take a picture.
You were the one.
To say how proud I was that you'd won
the
championship.
Thanks, mate. No, I appreciate that.
Yeah, but, I had been there earlier on, and there was more people.
No, but I'm talking about on the stages as well.
I went out to the stages quite a bit, you know, as I said in the column, and there were quite a few people out. Definitely compared to some of the English events we've been at this year, some of the Welsh events, some of the Irish events and stuff as well. So I go to a lot of events all year, and spectators aren't that many, but I was expecting quite a lot of the Manx, and there wasn't quite as many as I was expecting. But like I said in the column, I was more surprised that there wasn't as many people in service.
Ryan's got a very special version of what was the championship I won, right?
The Channel 4 championship.
I won the Channel 4 championship, Jack, Ben, just in case you wondered.
Well, something like BBC 4, but there isn't a BBC 4.
There is a BBC 4,
Anyway,
I won the Channel 4 championship this year anyway. So it's nice to have support from my fellow presenter of Absolute Rally. Thanks for that, mate.
Did you know I'm doing a rally?
You're my second in the other business.
This is why
you have to go, oh God, this is going to sound like a loving, oh my God, how embarrassing, oh my word. Oh.
No, it's just that my any other business can change depending on whether you spoke about what Ryan's doing, so you can't.
I'm going to talk about the fact that Ryan Champion is dusting down those overalls, and I'll be honest with you, the last time I seen him in those Pirelli overalls, they were a bit snug. So it's going to be interesting to see what he looks like come the Track Rod Rally, which, by the way, is my favourite gravel rally. And tell us all about, Ryan Champion, what you're going to be driving.
I'm actually going to dust off my Mitsubishi overalls.
That's a good move.
Which will be equally tight, I'm sure. I am lucky enough to be driving a Mitsubishi World Rally car on the Track Rod Rally. So it's one of the 2004 Mitsubishi World Rally cars. So one of the first of that era of Mitsubishi, if you like. So make a very distinctive sound. Really looking forward to it. I mean, the Track Rod, obviously a rally that's close to me in two ways. It's physically close to me, but I love the stages on that rally. Lucky enough to win it in 2006, and a fantastic car to go back in. I used to do some testing for Mitsubishi with the World Rally cars. Although ironically, I never actually drove the 04 car. I only drove the 05 car. But very similar machine, and it should be a lot of fun.
Is it still in the proper colours?
It is. It's definitely still in the proper colours. Yep. So still in the original.
Who's going to be in the silly seat with you?
I've got a young man called Alan Harriman.
A young man called Ali Harriman. Right.
He'll appreciate that.
How did that conversation go with your wife?
In terms of whether Gemma did it or not? No, I don't think Gemma...
You didn't even ask it, did you? You didn't even contemplate. You just went home and went, I love, guess what, I'm doing a track on the World Rally Car, and Ali Harriman sat with me. And that was the conversation, wasn't it, Ryan Champion?
Gemma and I like to do the odd event together for fun, but I don't think we would have done the track club together.
You hope not.
So, I know we wouldn't. So Gemma will be stood spectating with Finlay. So that's
this, this particular event, Ryan's going to be sponsored by Relate, Marriage Guidance Counselling.
It's all right, I'll give them your number, shall I?
You probably should after what I said before. Right, Jack Benyon, you're any other business, please.
I wanted to talk about Cali Rovanperä after quite an under-the-radar performance that he had over the weekend. I don't know if anyone was sort of paying attention to Rally Latvia over the weekend, the ERC round. Cali was competing in the Latvian Championship, which meant, he could compete on the event because he can't compete in the ERC. He's not old enough yet. So at 15 years old, he was the fastest R5 car through the first stage of the rally. So I wanted to doff my cap, so to speak, to Cali. And, we're always looking for that proof that Cali is, he's going to be a future world champion and all that sort of stuff. You know, it's talked about a lot on social media. This is a future world champion. But if you can kind of rock up at Latvia and be on the pace of your Kajetanovic's and look your luck, even though he was driving a Group N car over the weekend, they're still proving to be very quick over the Latvian stages. To do that, I thought was just phenomenal, really. And just wanted to point that out in case anyone wasn't really keeping too much of a close eye on Latvia.
I was about to say we probably should cover a little bit of Latvia now. Friend of the show, Chris Ingram, unfortunately only needed to finish that rally in order to secure the championship, and unfortunately had some mechanical woes, didn't he, Jack?
Yes, he did. Very unfortunate for Chris. Alternator, I think it was, and then he lost all charge in the battery and stuff like that. So real shame for Chris after such a consistent year. And we've all kind of we've had Chris through the year, haven't we, on Absolute Rally, and he's been bringing us updates of how he's been, and just sort of following through that journey through the year, and then for it to end in that way is a real shame, especially when going in R5 car was on offer for the champion. So I hope Chris is okay and not hanging up his overall too quickly, and hopefully we'll see him back out in something interesting before
absolutely
the end of the year.
And congratulations to Marion Griebel for securing that ERC Junior title. Of course, it will be out on Rally Cyprus. I believe it's in an R5 Skoda. Who was the overall winner on that one, Jack? Sorry, I was slightly tied up myself, but I'm just.
I thought you were attempting to try and trick me up with pronunciation as Wheel DC.
No, who won the event?
No, it was. I believe it's Ralph Samatic. But Ryan, I'm sure, will correct me if I'm wrong.
I looked at it before. Thought I don't know how to say that.
No. Ralph was in ERC Junior last year and made a step up to a Skoda this year. He's won three of the events. So if he'd have done a few more events this year and maybe had a better reliability in some of the other events, he would have been a real start for the championship. So it'd be really interesting to see what he does next year and whether he makes a step up, because he's clearly shown that he's got front running pace in the ERC.
Absolutely. Ryan Champion, I believe it's your turn to do your end of the business.
Well, thank you very much. I'll start with another headline in this week's MN, and that's Callum Duffy. Was debuting his new car at the weekend. Quite an interesting car.
I'm very excited by this, Ryan. I'm very, very excited by the car.
It is a pretty exciting car. So the 9-times winner of the Tour of Mull, I'm sure he's going to take some beating in this car, because he's bought a Super 2000 Fabia, which one of the best chassis of any of the Super 2000 cars, and then put a 350 horsepower 2.5 Millington in it. So it really is going to be some weapon, and I think he'll definitely take some beating in that machine. So that'll be great to see that.
Mull was one of your bucket list events. That started a little bit of debate on the Twitter last week. That was quite interesting. There was a few people who got involved in that as well. And by all means, folks, but if you do hear something and you want to put us straight, and I know some of you do, get involved. I feel like we should probably leave something in the podcast to create that on Twitter, and nothing to do with models, because that didn't work.
And I'm just going to come in with a second.
Come on, make it quick. We've got a minute.
Just an interesting one from the early conversation. We were talked about Toyota. We talked about Hyundai briefly. We still don't know what Thierry Neuville's doing. And, thinking about Hyundai's future investment, they have big plans in the World Championship, really, really putting a lot of work into development of the car, trying to win the World Championship. At the minute, they probably could do with Thierry Neuville for next year, because we see Hayden Padden as a future superstar, but he probably isn't consistent enough on tarmac to be a front runner in the championship. Danny Sordo, very consistent, but again, don't see him winning the championship. So Hyundai still need a championship winner in there.
There you
at the
go,
minute.
Folks. That could be the Twitter thing. Where do you think Thierry Neuville will end up in 2017? Folks, that is the end of our newsy section and our any other business, all those other bits and pieces. We're going to have a little bit of a break, and then we're going to come back with the man who was runner-up on the British Rally Championship and finished third overall on the Manx Rally, Tom Cave. Again, a man who's been on the show before, and be interested to see what Tom's got coming up next as well. So, folks, same time, same place for you two next week.
Absolutely.
And
we're going to cross back over now and talk to Tom Cave.
This is Absolute Rally. Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks, accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 441904-766-787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.
Welcome back to the middle section of Absolute Rally. And as I say, a man that I bumped into on the recce, not literally, but we were in the airport together. We had a bit of a chat. He's been on the show before. And he had a bit of focus about him, I think it's fair to say, when we were flying back after the recce. And with good reason. The man who was third on the Manx Rally and overall runner-up in the British Rally Championship this year, Tom Cave, welcome back to Absolute Rally.
Thank you, Tony.
And congratulations as well, by the way.
Yeah, it was a very promising weekend for us and the team, and we're all thrilled to get the job done. And like you mentioned, finishing second in the British Championship is quite a good achievement, I think.
I was just about to say, you know, you started the year, you know, it was a tough start to the year. You had some issues with the car, and, you know, you had a testing incident just before the first round, and, you know, it was all a bit all hands on deck and everything to get the car ready for Mid-Wales. What were your hopes and aspirations at the beginning of the year?
Obviously, we're headed into the championship with the view of to try and win. Of course, you know, we don't go into anything else but not to win. But then we knew it was going to be very tough with, you know, with the like of Elvin there, you know, with his experience. It was going to be tough going, and, you know, basically he's running in a works team really this year. You know, the car was all work supported by M Sport. So yeah, it was going to be extremely difficult to try and to try and keep up with him, as we found out after the Mid Wales. He was just on another level, to be honest. But yeah, we just had to try and keep onto his back bumper as such as long as we could. But, you know, in the end, he was just too strong for us. But, you know, to try and finish, I think after that second was probably the most realistic target we could go for.
Again, you know, you've been in the Fiesta R5. That has kind of been the weapon of choice, really. Obviously, Elvin's used one this year, but, you know, there was always the big fear the Skoda's coming as well, and the new Skoda R5 and everything else. But it hasn't quite took off, perhaps, in the BRC as it has elsewhere in the world. Obviously, happy with your choice with the R5 Fiesta?
Yeah, very pleased with it. It was a decision which is what we, you know, wanted to head for at the start of the year. At the Autosport show, we had a meeting, and, you know, that was the most feasible option for the team, you know, for Spencer Sport. But, yeah, I think it was the right decision, to be honest, because the support we have from M Sport themselves is very good on events and in between events. And, you know, they're always very very helpful when things start to get a bit tricky, like we had the incident at the start of the year with the accident on the red kite, and they did everything they could possibly could to get that car ready for the Mid-Wales, and to be fair, they did, so...
Fair play. There's some young bloke here called Jack Bennion, who knows, got loads of stuff to ask you about. So, Jack, over to you, my friend.
How you doing, Tommy, okay?
Yeah, good, thank you, Jack.
Good. I mean, you just mentioned Spencer Sport briefly there, and I think it's an interesting point to start off with. You know, pretty much a new team, isn't it, really? And you've gone into the year with a pretty much a brand new team, a brand new car, and also James Morgan as well, who's been a new co-driver for you, hasn't he? So a lot of new things to start the year, and you must think it's gone pretty well.
Yeah, Spencer Sport, like you said, you know, they've only been around probably just over a year in terms of like a business. And I got to meet Jamie Dukes, who runs in the Mirage. Well, he has been running the Mirage this year on Rally Spain last year. And, you know, he had some plans and aspirations to enter a team into the British Championship, and that's how all that came about, really, to be honest. But, yeah, you know, the team was literally built from nothing come December. They had to go and buy a car. Obviously, we went down the Fiesta route, and they had to go and get personnel in. They expanded their workshops down in Southwest Wales. You know, they've invested a lot of money into it, and yeah, you know, they finished runners up in the British Rally Championship for the first season. So, you know, they have to be very proud of that. And it was a big, big team effort. And yeah, the boys and Charlie as well, who runs the team, have just been fantastic all year with me. So, you know, really, really have to thank them for their hard work, because it was a very tough, you know, tough start to the year for us all. And yeah, and the new co-driver as well isn't something which I didn't really want to really go down, but you know, sometimes that's out of your control. But I think it's for the best. I think James and I are really gel now. We're gathering really good momentum in the car, and you know, our pace and our performances show that as well.
Yeah, it's been a really good year, hasn't it? And not a bad way to finish it off either with the Manx. A very good performance, I think you would say. Higgins, obviously, very experienced on the island, and Elvin, obviously, the champion this year. So two very good people in front of you, and at times you showed a lot of pace. What was the issue with the tyres on the first day? Because that was something that you were sort of thinking about a bit, wasn't it?
The issue with the what? Sorry, Jack.
With the tyres, you were choosing different. I think it was a different compound you were taking, weren't you, on the Friday?
Yeah, we took. To be honest, it was a lack of knowledge of the stages. I didn't really understand truly what certain stages would suit the certain compound of tyres. You know, one, I'd never done the Manx, and two, I'd never driven on there on Michelin tyres. So it's we kind of went with the wrong tyre choice. It cost us a bit of time, I'll be honest. Not my confidence a bit. I lost the confidence in the car. And yeah, you know, that's all that was really. I think Desi mentioned the same thing. He struggled with his tyres on this one stage. It was a 179 stage, which is just a ridiculous name for a stage, in my opinion. But yeah, you know, it was that stage. And it was just really smooth tarmac, shiny tarmac. And the Michelin, for some reason, just, you know, they just didn't give me no confidence, no turning, no feeling. Just on that one stage, that wrestler, right? They were, you know, they were absolutely fantastic. But at this one stage, it just didn't click for me at all. So,
yeah, a bit of an odd one, that, isn't it? But yeah, I guess it's one of the challenges that the Manx throws up, and sort of moving on to the Manx in general. It's it's one that people really like to go to in most cases. It was your first visit there. What did you kind of think of the stages and the pace? Because it was a very quick rally, wasn't it?
It was phenomenally fast, yeah. I think the first on Thursday evening, I think the average speed was like nearly 78 something miles an hour. I think Elvin was on, which is just incredibly fast. That's like world championship pace, or even faster on some events, you know. And the Manx stages, you know, they always live up to their reputation. They're extremely, extremely difficult, especially in the dark as well. You have to really have detailed notes and make sure you have all these little unseen bumps and compressions marked in, you know, in your pace notes, because, you know, it just, you know, in the dark, it just makes that things just a little bit more interesting to try and judge your corner speed. Thankfully, it was dry. I think if it was wet, it would have been carnage out there. It would have been really tough going if it was wet, but it was great to have a dry rally for once, because I think every event we've done this year, we've had like snow, ice, rain. So yeah, I was pleased to see, you know, to see the weather being dry. But I did enjoy the Manx stages. I found them a unique challenge, but you know, they clicked for me in my head quite well. Straight after the first run on Shakedown, I knew we were on a good pace. It just felt good in the car, and I really enjoyed driving them.
Yeah, in terms of how the year's got, I mean, you know, we talked a bit about group ends, didn't we, a while ago, and how group ends helped you to settle into rally, and that's something I wanted to ask you about. While we were on the show, you know, we talked about it briefly, didn't we, about how group ends a good way into learning four-wheel drive rally, and is that something that sort of helps your career, do you think?
I think it definitely has a beneficial impact with the way I got to now in a rallying career. You know, we did the British Championship in 2011 in a group N car, and yeah, you know, I at the time then I was nowhere near as experienced as I was, you know, as I am now. But it does help you develop your skills in a four-wheel drive car. It just makes you understand how a four-wheel drive works and behaves on different types of surfaces. And ultimately, you can put that skill into driving an R5 car, because R5, again, is like another level ahead of Group N in terms of the technicality of the cars. You know these R5 cars, you know, in terms of the car and the diffs, they're quite simple. But to try and understand, you know, where to go with your car setup when it gets slippy or when it becomes dry, that's where the experience comes in, and ultimately you can learn from that in Group M.
Tom, I was just about to say, Tom, if I can ask you a couple of things here, because again, you know, I can remember, I kind of feel quite old every time I say this, but I can remember you coming through and doing the junior, you know, the junior stuff over in Latvia, and then obviously doing BRC and your Fiesta ST and stuff like that. Looking back all those years and the way you've built towards it, has this been almost like, and obviously you want to win the British Rally Championship, of course you do, that's what you're geared for, but has this been like almost like a crescendo of all that hard work that's gone before?
Yeah, I definitely think it has. You know, I didn't envision myself for being an R5 car this year. You know, if I think back 3-4 years ago to say, right, you know, I'm going to be an R5 car in the British Championship in 2016, I'd just be like, well, you know, one is never going to happen. But, you know, I think from going through those phases of, like you said, driving in the Fiestas, we did the Fiesta Sporting Trophy for a few rounds and, you know, learning the events, you know, it's just like it's an accumulation of factors. One, experience. Two, of driving different cars. And three, learning the events as well, because that's ultimately what's going to make you, you know, win the championship, is if you know the events. And I think we can go back next year potentially, which I don't know what we're doing yet, but if we do go back next year, I'll have a much better insight of going to the events like the Isle of Man and just understanding where I need to be with car setup and how much detail I need to put in my pace notes and etc.
You've just prompted the next question, of course. I'm sure as you went over the finish ramp, you were already thinking about 2017. Is that the effort? Is that the effort now to go one better next year?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, I think it kind of dawned on me after the last weekend that, you know, if Elvin didn't do the championship this year, we probably would have won it. I can confidently say that without being too big-headed, but you know, hopefully Elvin will move on to bigger and better things, which, you know, is what he deserves, because he's driven extremely well all year. And I know it's with his interest to move on to bigger things next year. So hopefully that will free up my position to go and hopefully win the championship, which is obviously what we want to go and do. It's always been an ambition of mine to do. So yeah, maybe next year could be our year. We'll see.
Listen, we're going to keep everything crossed for you. But in the meantime, I'll let you get back to, you know, you're not like some of these superstars, mate. You've got a day job as well, haven't you? You've got to get back to the family business.
I have a day job indeed, yeah. it's what I enjoy doing. You know, I want to go home and sit on my backside and do nothing between now and the next event. You know, it just gives me direction, and I enjoy it as well, which obviously makes a big difference.
Can I ask you what the next event is? Have we got any hopes for GB?
I don't know, to be honest, Tony. It's all a bit cold, really. I need to look at the bigger picture. You know, we could spend a lot of money on doing GB, but that money could go into next year. Yeah. I would only be doing GB for my personal satisfaction and to do it because it's my home rally, not because I want to go and prove a point. So you have to weigh up the pros and the cons. In the moment, there's probably more cons than pros. So we'll see. Unless an opportunity comes up between now and the 27th of September when the entries close, then yes, I will do my very best to do it. But at the moment, it's looking more unlikely.
Do you know what? That's a very, very refreshing way and a very sensible way, dare I say it, without sounding like I'm an old man and kind of being talking down to you, so to speak, which I'd never want to do. But I think that's such a great way of looking at it, Tom. I think it really is. I think it's a very, very bright way of looking at your rally career and moving forward your future. I really do.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you very much.
There you go. Listen, joking aside, I will let you get back to your day job, and I really do appreciate your time coming on, and very, very pleased and very, very proud of what you've achieved this year. And listen, stay in touch, and we'll catch up soon, okay?
Yeah, thank you very much, guys. Thank you.
This is the Absolute Rally Podcast. Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks, accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 44 1904 766787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com. This is Absolute Rally.
Welcome back to the final section of Absolute Rally, and a little bit of a first. We've not had them on before. and we wanted to get him on. The reason why we wanted to get him on is because Cameron Davis, I've known about him for a long time, and he flirts with a little bit of racing. He does a little bit of rallying, claims to be a rally driver now, he's just told me. None of this racing malarkey anymore, none of this roundy-roundy business. He's now a fully-fledged rally driver, and it's an honour to welcome him. And also, he's now the Fiesta Copart champion for this year, which obviously we did the Wales Rally GB version of it last year, and he's done the BTRDA version of it this year. And congratulations first and foremost on that championship, mate.
Excellent, thank you, Tony. Yeah, it's been a good year for me, so pleased to clinch the title.
It's been great. Obviously we've watched from afar. Obviously some said we run scared, but we've been watching from afar. It's odd because when you did BTRDA, I did BRC when we did the Fiestas, and then we've kind of swapped roles again. So we've kind of always missed each other. But I think you still would have won. I think, to be fair.
Oh, I don't know. I think you'd have given me a run for my money, but it would have been interesting to see anyway.
I think so. Yeah. It's been good to watch, and I think everything that they've done is been perfect. And I think for you to kind of use it as a way of re-establishing yourself back in rallying again, I think was very important, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, as you were, as being a rally driver, trying to climb the rankings is very difficult. So for me, taking a break out last year to go circuit racing was just sort of to improve my techniques rather than trying to just do another year of the same thing in rallying, which it did help, actually. So it's good to see that a stepping stone sort of being created now with the SDs being relaunched and DMAT getting involved for a prize for me to move up to the British Championship next year.
So tell our listeners a little bit about that then. Obviously, the BTRDA is a national gravel championship over in the UK, which is one of which, again, it's one I've done a couple of years myself, and I was lucky enough to have a few half-decent results there. But now what happens in the world of Cameron Davis? Obviously, that championship's now secured. So what happens with DMAC now? Does that work?
Well, basically, the Fiesta is set up, like you said, just in the BTRDA, which is probably below the BRC. But they work together with the DMAC to try and create a stepping stone for youngsters at an affordable step to get themselves into BTRDA, but proving themselves first in the one mix series. But lucky enough, DMAC have got involved with giving a tyre package to help support the driver, because as you know, tyres is probably a big factor of the budget in rallying. So, having their backing and their support, and hopefully, you know, the sort of contacts in the sport as well will help any driver pursue their career and take it further.
So obviously for you, you still fall into the junior category, don't you? So, you know, that tyre deal, obviously the junior section runs on the DMAC control tyre, so it's great for you. But for you, again, it's another back to the future job. I assume you now have to try and find a budget and find an R2 car.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and that's the case. Yeah, I mean, the BRC Junior is his R2 car category on the DMAC tyres. So, for me now, it's just sitting down, you know, talking with the team, discussing what's the best car for us, and most importantly, the affordable step as well for us. There's a few choices out there now. But we just got to look all around, to be honest. There's a new round for the British Championship, which is in Belgium, which we're quite excited about. So, just choosing the right R2 car. I'm not giving away any secrets yet, just in case someone's listening. we're looking anyway.
It's such a big jump to make as well. Obviously, you know what, we've just done the BRC, and, you know, I think we've probably done it on the smallest, tiniest budget available. And then you look at what some of the juniors have had to spend in order to be competitive. And, it's still big, big numbers. It's such a big jump from that BTRDA to BRC, isn't it?
Oh yeah, most definitely. Yeah, I mean, not just in cost. Everything about the BRC, you know, is so much greater and better. And it's going to be difficult to try and find the budget to take the step up. But it's getting us that one step closer to the WRC Academy, which is where we're aiming to. So, having the longer stages, you know, having a more professional approach is obviously going to do a lot of good.
Is it, again, this is something we talk to a lot of young drivers that we have on, the likes of Gus Greensmith and obviously Chris Ingram and guys like that. They very much embraced making pace notes from a very, very early age, and you know, you've been in a position where you've made notes certainly for tarmac rallying and stuff like that, but you've also been, unfortunately, in situations in championships where you've had to take the organisers' notes.
Yeah, I mean that's the only probably downside to the BTRDA in this country, is that, you know, we take organiser notes. So even though I've had the sort of, you know, the experience of doing the stages there, it's not helping me out with making the pace notes. And as everyone knows, they are so important. So this next year is going to be a big year of learning for me, you know, doing my own notes on gravel. And I'm going to have to learn very quickly because I've only got 1 year at it. There's no learning year for me because the budget is just not there to sort of do so. So we have to make it a very important year. And over the winter now, I'm going to do a lot of training, hopefully, with the MSA Academy. Be helping out with that as well, and you know the likes of, you know, Chris Ingram, and talking to them, just trying to, you know, get any pointers as well. Should be good, fellow competitor of mine. So
good stuff. Yeah. Now, one thing I wanted to talk to you about, and something which we haven't really featured too much, but I'll be honest, you know, all the smoke between the three of us, Jack Benyon, of course, my men, and me and Ryan, we always have a three-way chat about what we're going to be doing in the program. And one, Ryan, to be fair, raised a really, really good point, and it's something perhaps we need to feature. You're a bit like Chris Ingram. You came up through that kind of junior ranks, didn't you? You were kind of in a rally car at a very, very early age.
Yeah, I started at 14 doing the Formula 1000 championship here in the UK, yeah. So we competed together for 2 years, I think it was. Yeah, and fortunate enough, I beat him as well, which was really good. Beat him for the 2 years I was there. And then due to budget, he sort of went to our two cars and I had to go along to the BTRDA, which isn't the best, but I'd have liked to follow the steps that you did, yeah.
But, you know, I think that grounding as well of being in a rally car at such an early age. I'd say, cause I've known about yourself and I've known about Chris for a long time. I'm an old fart now. But you guys feel like you've been around for such a long time, but you're relatively such young lads, really.
Yeah, it does feel like that, to be honest. It was only the other day we were talking about it amongst the MSA Academy. I've probably been rallying 7 years now, and I'm only 21. So really, we should have been starting rallying at 17. I'm not sort of thinking that we're too old and tough at 17 when we turned, you know. So
it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing for you guys. You know, I didn't do my first stage rally until I was 25. You know, that's the reality of the budgets and things like that we all know are very, very difficult. But for you guys growing up in it, I think it's very important. I think that mindset is very important. Obviously, the fact you went racing, I think that's going to stand you in such good stead in the next 12 to 18 months. I think just that different mindset and thinking about things differently, I think, is going to be invaluable to you. I really do.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, when I took the opportunity to go racing, I didn't think it would, to be honest. It was just more to improve my techniques of driving. But there's so many ways and things I've learned from that, which, like you said, your mindset and how they approach things. They start, you know, racing from much later ages in go-karts and getting to a more professional sort of rhythm beforehand. So yeah, there's lots of things I'm going to take from that, and I do hope they pay off in the near future.
I'd love to have a go at racing, but the bottom line is normally when I go go-kart with the lads, I'm normally the first person to get asked to leave. So
I couldn't think why, Joey.
It's not a good place for me to be.
Yeah.
But listen, the only reason why I wanted to talk to you is because it's a little bit up in the air at the moment about who of our little gang in Absolute Rally is going to Rally Day. But I know Rally Day have been involved with you guys all year, haven't they? And obviously you're going to be part of it and you're going to be down there.
Yeah, Rally Day come on board at the start of the year as one of my sponsors. I'm actually one of the first drivers they've ever sponsored, so it's been a bit of a learning curve for us both. I was working together with them to sort of promote Rally Day, you know, because it's Europeans' biggest family rally show. So yeah, we just want to sort of promote that fact and, you know, get the rally drivers in on it, you know, show people what a great sport rallying is, and to get people there with a load of Group B cars and a load of the current WRC cars with Alvin driving them. It's, you know, spectacular event, and if we can promote that, then the better.
It's, as you say, you've just mentioned Elvin. We're going to have Tom Cave, all being well, as well on the podcast this week. There's a bit of a strong Welsh connection going on in rallying at the moment, isn't it? It's, you boys certainly seem to be trying to take the world on again.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. I mean, we're in the heart of it here in Wales, so having Forest just on our doorstep and probably some of the greatest in the world. I mean, I'm only down the road from halfway, and probably Alvin's only down the road from some of the great North Wales stages. So I think it's sort of in our blood anyway from
Absolutely.
The word go. So, yeah, you'll be seeing a lot more.
I can imagine. That scares me. That scares me. Listen, mate, a couple of things before we let you go. When we our last guest and the person who's kind of last in the podcast, and there's no hierarchy, Reb, we always kind of give them a chance to see whether they've got any other business they want to talk about. We talk to them about stuff. We've been talking to you about Rally Day and stuff like that. Have you got any other anything on your mind about rallying at the moment you'd like to share with the world of Absolute Rally?
Well, to be honest, if you're at Rally Day, you can come see me. And you sort of, you know, see the stand, see what we're up to, see the car I've been using all year. But really, it's just concentrating on my R2 drive for next year. And we've also got something exciting for Where's Rally GB if it can come off. So, but we're waiting for that at the minute.
Okay. Exciting, mate. Well, listen, don't be a stranger. You could be our man in BRC Juniors next year. Maybe you could be. We have our little reporters in different championships. Obviously, we've had Chrissy in Junior ARC, and we've had Gus Greensmith in the DMAT Drive thing. So maybe you could be our man in the BRC Juniors next year.
Yeah, hopefully. If the winter goes right and I get my pace nuts on point,
you'll
then,
be
yeah,
right,
hopefully.
My friend. You'll be right. But there you go. Good. Listen, folks, it's been a pleasure to have Cameron. This is the end of the podcast, and you know where we live. It's Absolute_Rally on Twitter. And by all means, look us up on Facebook. Leave us a message. Anything you want to know, it's facebook.com/Absolute Rally. Folks, this has been episode 8. We've got 2 more episodes left in season 5. And then we're going to have a little break, a little holiday, and come back with some different bits and pieces, which I keep talking about, which I'll tell you more as time goes by. But thanks for the download, folks. Same time, same place next week. We'll be in your podcast hole, wherever that may be.